Three new books are available now from Dr. James Merritt, 52 Weeks Through the Bible. View Scripture afresh and fall in love with a book that changes everything. 52 Weeks with Jesus for Kids, a new devotional just for children. And 52 Weeks with Jesus Study Guide. This guide is the perfect resource to help you engage with the topics found in the bestseller, 52 Weeks with Jesus. All three of these new books are available now from Touching Lives. Call 800-413-1131 or visit touchinglives.org.
Today on Touching Lives.
He said, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the what? Stars forever and ever. You've got a job as a follower of Jesus Christ. You are to shine. Your light is to shine. Your light is to shine such a way, so bright, it is to glow in such a different way from everybody around you that people will see the light of Christ shining in you.
Teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need him. This is Touching Lives with James Merritt.
Scientists now tell us, they've estimated that if you count all of the stars and all of the galaxies in our entire universe, I want you to listen to this, they estimate there are 1 billion trillion stars. That's not 1 billion stars, that's not 1 trillion stars. They tell us there is 1 billion trillion stars. And yet of all of the billion trillion stars out there, maybe the most famous and the most celebrated astronomical entity in history is what we call the Bethlehem star. I don't know of any star in history that has been talked about and studied about, sung about, had music written about, thought about, especially at Christmas time, than this star. I mean, you think about it. Beginning around the third week in November, the star starts popping up everywhere. I could go to a lot of your homes tonight. You could show me your Christmas tree. Many of you have a star at the top of your tree. We all get Christmas cards. How many Christmas cards did you get this year? And embossed somewhere on that card was this star. You go to any nativity play or any nativity set, you're going to see that star. I mean, the star is just ubiquitous. It's everywhere. A lot of Christmas carols talk about the star. Some Christmas carols are all about the star. You may remember the famous song, We Three Kings. And I don't know whether you realize this or not. If you've ever sung that song, you're not just singing about the star. You're actually singing to the star. Maybe you remember these lyrics. Star of wonder, star of night. Star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding. Now, you're talking to the star. Guide us to thy perfect light. Now, if you think we celebrate the star, let me tell you this. If you really want to celebrate this star, if you're really into this star, you ought to go to Bethlehem at Christmas. Now, you talk about celebrating the star. Let me give you an example. If you were to go to Bethlehem, if you could get on a plane and fly tonight and be at Christmas in Bethlehem tomorrow, number one, you could stay at the Bethlehem Star Hotel. Number two, you could shop at the annual Christmas market. You care to guess which street it's on? Star Street. Listen to this. You can have a latte at Stars and Bucks Cafe. Or, some of you have been with me, you go to Manger Square, you know what you'll find all over the pavement and all over the walls? You will find this Bethlehem Star. It's everywhere. Now, this raises a big question to me. Why is this star so prominent? Why are people so curious about this star? Why is it every Christmas we're drawn back to this star? Why do people write music about this star? Why do we still say it is a star of wonder? And I'll tell you why that really does, I find that incredible. This star is only talked about one time in the whole Bible. It's only mentioned in one chapter in the Bible, and in that chapter it's only mentioned really two or three times. And yet it is a part of a very fascinating story. And if you'd like to read this story with me, if you have a Bible or an iPad or a smartphone, I want you to turn to a gospel called Matthew. There are four gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. And while you're turning and looking at this, we all know the story, or if you don't, may not remember it, but you will very soon. This whole story revolves around some men that we call wise men. The Bible calls them Magi. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 2, picking up in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, you may remember the story. We call them wise men. They're actually called magi. The word magi gives us an English word. You can figure out what it is. It gives us the word magic, magical, magician. And the reason why they were called magi and the reason why they were called wise men is because they were stargazers. They were astrologers. They were experts in studying stars. They were experts in studying constellations. Today we would call them astrologers. Now, back in that day, astronomy and astrology were a part of the same overall study. They were kind of hand in hand. They were kind of joined at the hip. Well, these men had come from what we would call today Iraq, modern day Iraq. Back then it was known as Babylon. These men had come from the east, and they had come to Israel, and they were looking for a baby. And they were looking for a specific baby, a baby that was going to be a king of the Jewish people. Now, the question is raised, well, now, how did they know anything about a biblical prophecy about a baby being the king of Israel? Well, you have to remember that, if you don't, I'll refresh your memory. In 600 B.C., after being in the promised land for hundreds of years, the nation of Israel was actually defeated by the Babylonians. And they took over. And they deported many of the Jewish people from Jerusalem all the way back to Babylon. Well, these stargazers not only studied the stars, but they were also read about any kind of sacred writing that they thought had might have a clue on what stars might mean. So it's very obvious that they were very familiar with biblical prophecies that dealt with stars, and there was one biblical prophecy in particular they must have known about, and it's found in Numbers chapter 24, where it says, "A star will come out of Jacob," that is the land of Israel, "a star will come out of Jacob, and a scepter," that's what a king holds, a scepter will rise out of Israel. Now, these men were wise enough to add two and two together, and they said, wait a minute, wow. Evidently, there's going to be a star that's going to be like a sign in the sky, and this star somehow is connected to this king. So when we see this certain star, we're going to figure out, okay, this king evidently must have been born. Now, before we get into the story, and it won't be very long, and the message will be very brief, but before we do that, I know some of you are probably sitting there thinking what I would be thinking, and that is, so what was this star? And to be honest with you, there's a lot of speculation about what this star was. I've been reading books about it, and it's all over the place. Some believe it was a comet. Some believe it was what's known as a supernova. Some believe it was a certain alignment of the planets, Jupiter, for example, with a couple of other planets that made this bright light in the sky. We don't really know what the star was. However, God didn't need a star to guide them to this baby. He could have used a pillar of fire. He could have used just a bright light. He could have even used an angel. He could have just spoken a deep bass voice. But he uses a star. And so, realizing that, I asked myself, okay, why is the star in the story? What is so important about the star? There must be something about the star that I believe relates to you and me. And I'm going to share with you two things that this star did that I believe you and I ought to do, not just during the Christmas season, but all year round, so that we can have a maximum impact on people who do not know the Jesus that we know. Two things this star did. Think about it. Number one, we should glow so people can follow us to Jesus. We should glow so people can follow us to Jesus. Now, let's go back to verse 1, and here's what we read. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. These Magi came from the east. The Greek word there literally means the rising of the sun. In other words, they came from Babylon. Now, if you get out a map and you measure the distance from Babylon to Jerusalem, you'll find it's about 550 miles. These men were so determined they were going to find this baby. They get on camels. They probably traveled by camel back in those days. A camel would go about 15 to 20 miles a day, so you do the math. They traveled somewhere between 28 and 37 days, almost a month and a half. Now, they thought they should go to Jerusalem. They thought their destination was Jerusalem. Why did they think that? Because Jerusalem was the city of kings. It was known from 1000 B.C. to 600 B.C. as the royal city of David. So from the first millennium B.C. until the kingdom dissolved in the 6th century, it was known as the city where kings would go to reign. they would have been hopelessly lost from the very beginning. They would have never gotten anywhere they needed to go except for one thing. They only had one thing that they were pinning their hope on that would make sure that they would find that baby, and that one thing was that star. That's all they had. That's the only thing they knew to follow. That's the only place they knew to go to. Now, I don't know what it was that made this star stand out from any other astronomical globe, but it was all they had to follow, and it was all they needed. So when they decided, when they finally saw this star in the sky, and they said, okay, we've got to go. It's time. Somewhere, some way, this baby's been born. We got to find this little boy. From that very moment, day after day, mile after mile, week after week, the only hope they had to find that baby was the light of that star. Now, here's what I want you to think about. From the time they left home, they could not see that baby. They didn't know what the baby looked like. They didn't know what his name was. They didn't know who his parents were. They didn't know anything. They just knew the baby was there. They could not see that baby. All they could see was the light from that star. The only thing that could lead them was the light from that star. If at any moment that star had said, you know what, I'm just burned out. I'm tired of this. If that star at any moment had just said, you know what, I've had enough of this. I don't want to do this anymore. And just flip the off switch. They're lost. Hopelessly lost. Helplessly lost. There is no way in the world on their own they're going to be able to find that little boy. The light was all they had to follow, and the light was all they needed. So here's what I want you to think about. The number one job of that star, the number one job was to glow, was to shine, so that they could follow that star and they could find Jesus. And here's what I want to say to you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that's your number one job. Your number one job is to live your life in such a way, the way you act, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you treat other people, the way you run your business, the way you operate your financial affairs, the way you treat your spouse, the way you treat your kids, the way you treat your parents. Your job is to live a life in such a way, and you shine in such a way that people can follow you to Jesus. And you may be saying, now, where do you get that? What idea do you get that from? I get it from Jesus himself. You remember these words from Jesus? Jesus said in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is the star of the show, but we're on the undercard. We're also to be stars, shining through in the way we live and act and talk, so that people will see the light of Jesus in us and we can point them to the star of the show. So just like that first star, we're to shine. We're to glow. We're to do it in such a way, we're to be so different from the run-of-the-mill people out there in the world that people will see the light shining in us and they'll say, I want to know how I can follow you to Jesus. That's one thing. Here's the other thing. We should go so people can find Jesus. We should glow so people can follow us to Jesus, but we should go so people can find Jesus. Now, this is where the story really gets interesting. They get to Jerusalem, but they still don't know where this baby is. And so they come to King Herod and they say, look, we saw this star in the sky, and I believe King Herod probably seen it as well. So we've seen this star in the sky, and we're trying to find this baby, but we don't really know where this baby is. Can you help us? King Herod says, well, gosh, you know, I don't know either, but I'll tell you this. I'm really well connected to the rabbis. I'm really well connected to the Pharisees, and I'm really well connected to the PhDs and these biblical scholars, and they know. So King Herod calls in these Pharisees and these priests and these rabbis, and he says, hey, they're looking for this king. They're looking for this new messianic king that's supposed to be born, the king of the Jews. And they say, oh, yeah, we know exactly where the child's supposed to be born. Really, where? In Bethlehem. Well, how do you know? Well, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Micah prophesied that this baby would be born in Bethlehem. Even though they can find Bethlehem, they are still totally out of luck unless something miraculous happens. And what happens? Once again, the star comes through. Because the star doesn't just glow. Now we're told when they walk out of that palace and they start to Bethlehem, in effect, the star said, hey guys, follow me. Just keep your eyes on me. I'm going to take you exactly where you need to go. I'm going to take you to where I was created to go before you even were born in this world. And so here's what we read in verse 9. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose, that is over a month and a half ago, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, I don't mind telling you, that's one of the most incredible verses to me in the Bible. I don't understand it, I don't get it, and I can't totally explain it, but we're told that the star goes to this house and it stops almost as if it's shining a spotlight right on the very place where this little boy was born. Now, the reason why I don't find that hard to believe, and the reason why I find that really kind of what we would expect to find, is this. If you ever go to a Broadway play or go to a musical and they have a spotlight, who do they always shine the spotlight on? Always. The star of the show. That's who gets the spotlight. That's who's in the spotlight. So it doesn't surprise me that this star comes to this house and says, hey, he's right there. He's right there in that door. You say, oh, that's not a count. That just sounds far-fetched to me. Well, maybe you missed something that we read a while ago. In fact, I bet you did, because I missed it almost all of my life till I studied for this passage. You see, that was no ordinary, whatever it was, that was no ordinary star that led these men to Bethlehem. You say, well, what do you mean? Do you remember how they described the star to back in verse 1? If you don't, let me show you again. They said, where's the one? They're talking to King Herod. Where's the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw, what's that word? Say it out loud. His. Not a star, not some star, not the star. We saw his star. It was his star where it rose and have come to worship him. That star was his star. God put Jesus' name on that star above every other star. And from the time that star was created for one purpose and one purpose alone. Go where Jesus was and lead these men to follow him and find him. Everywhere that Jesus went, this lamb was sure to go. This star was sure to go. You get it? That's why it was there. They say, oh, this is his star. That's why you read this in verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Do you know what that really says in the Greek language? That's a very weak translation. That phrase in the Greek language is so long. Here's what it literally says. They were unbelievably, indescribably, deliriously happy. It was because that star had finally brought them to what they had been looking for all along, Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to hear. Listen to this. These men had gone where God wants all of us to go, and that's to Jesus. You are not put on this earth to make money. You are not put on this earth to get an education. You are not put on this earth to get a job. You are not put on this earth to save for retirement. You are not put on this earth just to buy a house, drive a car, live a little while, turn up your toes and die. You were put on this earth to come to Jesus. Every one of us. And there have been so many stars in your life, whether you recognize it or not, so many lights in your life, and all these stars and all these lights have been to bring you to Jesus. So what I want to do now is just close with two questions. We're going to go home. Two quick questions. Because you have the right to ask this question, and I would ask it too. You may be sitting there saying, well, this is really nice. I really enjoyed that. I never thought about the star that way before. You did a lot of homework. Appreciate your study. That was really interesting. But wait a minute. What's the star got to do with you? And what's the star got to do with me? I mean, you still got to go to work next week. And you still got to pay your bills. And you still got to make a marriage work. And you still got to be a good parent. And you still got to be a good son or a good daughter. And you still need to be a good neighbor. So what does all this have to do with you? Well, let me talk to two groups of people real quick and we'll finish. I want to talk to the majority of you in this room, and you're a follower of Jesus. You would say to me, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I love Jesus. I've been born again. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. You know, okay. Then I want to show you something about you. A Jewish rabbi by the name of Paul, who at one time hated Christmas, hated the Christ of Christmas, didn't want anything to do with Christmas. He didn't believe in the Magi. He didn't believe in the shepherds. He didn't believe in the angels. He didn't believe in the baby. He didn't believe nothing till he met Jesus face to face. This Jewish rabbi who became a follower of Jesus wrote something to a church in Philippi about how he expected them to live and how God wanted them to live. And here's what he wrote. He said, "I want you to become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like," what's that word? Stars in the sky. This man said, you know, when you meet Jesus and you trust Jesus and you love Jesus and you know Jesus and you worship Jesus, then you will glow and you will go so that other people will want to come to that light. My question to you tonight, if you're a follower of Jesus, is this question. Is your flashlight on? That's my question. Is your flashlight on? Are you shining as a star so that people can follow you to the star of the show? There was a prophet named Daniel who wrote these words thousands of years ago. He said, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the what? Stars forever and ever." You've got a job as a follower of Jesus Christ. You are to shine. Your light is to shine. Your light is to shine such a way, so bright, it is to glow in such a different way from everybody around you that people will see the light of Christ shining in you. And they'll say, "There's something I want to follow and find what it is you're following and what it is that you have found." That's my word to you. Now the second group. So you walked in here tonight, and I'm glad you're here, but maybe you came because the grandkids begged you to come, or your kids begged you to come, or you're in town and you got nothing else to do. It's kind of the thing you do with Christmas Eve on your family. But just to be honest, you're really not into this Jesus stuff. You're not really sure about the Christmas deal. You're not really buying into the star and the Magi and the angels and the shepherds and this baby was the Son of God. And you're just not really into all that. You're not really sure about all that. Here's all I want to say to you. There's one other group in this story that I don't want you to forget. And it was those religious leaders, those Pharisees and those priests. And let me tell you why I want you to think about that. What you did tonight, they did every Sabbath. They went to the synagogue every Sabbath. They studied their Bible. They prayed. They said they had a personal relationship with God, and they didn't even bother to take the time to walk the 5 miles to check the story out for themselves. All I'm asking you to do is this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've never given your heart and your life to Him, all I'm asking you to do is just this. Just take the 5 mile journey and just check Him out. That's all. Just see. Just see whether or not He really is who He said that He was. Because if you don't, a miss is as good as a mile. And this is what I close with, and this is why this is so important to me. See, I believe the greatest tragedy in life, by far, is to go through this show called life and miss the star of the show. Because I got news for you. I wish I could talk to every Hollywood actor and every Hollywood actress. I wish I could talk to every millionaire and every billionaire. I wish I could talk to every dictator and every ruler and every president. I wish I could talk to everybody and anybody that's got power and money and influence. You know what I would love to tell them? You're not the star of the show. Jesus is the star of the show. So I'm just telling you this, and then we're going to pray. It is a tragedy to go through this life, the show called life, and miss the star of the show. Because this Jesus, that little baby that those wise men, those Magi, that little baby that they traveled a mile and a half, 550 miles, and oh, by the way, when they got there, the first thing they did was get on their knees and worship a 2-year-old boy. And the reason why they did that is because that baby is no ordinary baby. That baby is the Jewish Messiah. That baby is the Savior of the world. That baby is the Lord of the universe. That baby is the King of Kings. That baby is the star of the show. That baby is the star of Christmas. And that baby wants to be the star of your heart.
For most of us, there's been at least one person in our lives whose faith we've admired, even depended on. There's that one person we always reach out to when we need prayer or advice. But did you know that you can be that light for someone else? It's not as hard as you might think. Call Touching Lives today at 800-413-1131 and let's pray together as you determine to let your light shine.
Hey, I'm James Merritt, and this is my beautiful wife, Teresa, together with our grandchildren. That is Presley, and that's Connor, and that's Cassidy, and this is Harper. We want to wish you a very Merry Christmas from the entire staff at Touching Lives.
Yeah, we hope and pray that this Christmas season is filled with the joy of Christ for you and your whole family.
Our number one priority here at Touching Lives is to preach the gospel to lost people all over the world. And there's just no better time than Christmas to share the love of Jesus with a world that needs Jesus.
2016 has been a very challenging year for Touching Lives, but we believe God has great things in store for this ministry as we head into this new year.
As in years past, we've been blessed with a tremendous matching grant opportunity during the month of December. We'd like to invite you to partner with us by making a special financial investment into the life-changing work of Touching Lives.
In order for your gift to be eligible for the matching grant, it has to be postmarked by December 31st of 2016. So please consider sending your gift today.
Teresa and I thank you in advance for your help with this year's matching grant campaign. Your generosity is such a blessing. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support of Touching Lives. Thank you for watching. And always remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. And grandkids, what do we say?
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Just as the star led the wise men to Jesus, God is still shining the light on His Son today. One of the ways is through ministries like this one. And when you partner with Touching Lives, together we are sharing the gospel of Christ online, on television, on social media, YouTube, and Apple TV, even through our new app for mobile phones. Thank you for your faithful prayers and financial support. Merry Christmas from all of us at Touching Lives.